You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Good morning. My name is Josh White. I'm the youth pastor here at New Testament Church. And some good news, if you're not a fan of today's message, don't worry, because I won't be speaking next week, I'm sure, okay? Then you get to hear from Pastor Greg or Pastor Justin. I remember someone said to me recently, so when do you become a real pastor? And I was like, it's a good question. I don't know. I'll let you know if, apparently youth pastor's not real, I guess. So that hurt my heart a little bit. But anyway, we're trying to forgive, right? We're trying to release and we're trying to walk that out. It was Sherry Arquette. But anyway, no, I wasn't. No, Sherry just took me aside and prayed with me, and she's so wonderful. Thank you, Sherry. But yeah, I'm not here all that much. You know, I grew up in this church. I just turned 30 a couple weeks ago, so I think I'm too old to be a youth pastor now. I don't get any of the lingo. I try. I spent really a lot of time this past summer camp. We have a summer camp every year in Cape Cod. And this year I tried really hard to, whenever I would hear a phrase, I would say, hey, wait, Nolan, come here real quick. What the heck does that mean? You know, I remember this one time, I don't know if you parents would remember this, but, you know, if you have a young person, you might remember yeet. Anyone remember yeet? Okay, so there's this phrase, everyone's like, what does that even mean? I believe it was spelled Y-E-E-T. Is that correct, Nolan? Thank you. And so I asked, kids kept saying this, yeet, and I was like, what the heck? And so I asked this one kid, hey, what does yeet mean? And they're like, you know, like, and they took their shoe off, and they went, yeet, and they threw their shoe. And I was like, no, that doesn't help. In fact, the context I've seen yeet used, that brings me more confusion than I had before. And so, yeah, I'm getting older. It's getting harder to stay up with what the kids mean, but I'm doing my best. Thankfully, we just hired Mason Donnelly, who's taken my job, and he's still with the lingo. He's still young. He's still cool. So I think they're in good hands. But yeah, it's almost 3 years, or is it 3 years since we planted NTC Ogdensburg? How long? 3 years ago, crazy, time flies, we planted a church in Ogdensburg, NTC Ogdensburg, and so I've had some people ask me, like, hey, what happened? I never see you anymore. And I'm like, well, I've been in Ogdensburg the last 3 years, helping plant our church there. And I just want to bring some greetings from NTC Ogdensburg. It's been incredible what God is doing. We're seeing people delivered. We're seeing people come into the incredible relationship with Jesus. We're seeing people just dive right in and desire freedom, right, and depth in relationship with him and growing in maturity with him. So it's just been incredible what God is doing out there. And I just want to thank you guys for just being such a support. You know, Greg and I go out there all the time, but you guys pay our salary, so thank you. We really appreciate that. That's awesome. but man, I'm just excited to be home this morning. You know, growing up in this church, you know, this is home, right? So I'm just super excited to be here with you all and be able to share something with you guys. So today I would really love to talk about something that God has really been kind of cultivating in my heart. You know, probably when I was 18 or 19, I felt this call to be a church planter. I just felt like God even gave me a number, and this is a number that scares me. I felt like he said, I want you to plant 10 churches, Josh. And I was like, oof, wow, that's a lot. But I feel like I asked him, is it okay? What if like one of my kids continues that? Could it be like a Moses Joshua kind of relationship where, because 10 sounds like a lot. And he said, we'll talk about it. So, you know, to be determined. But, you know, from the time I was young, I just felt this call to be a church planner, right? And you know, my wife and I are kind of getting ready to step into that new season. We're getting ready to plant a new church in Potsdam, and we're super, super excited about, you know, what God is going to do. And as we're stepping into this season, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of what ifs. There's a lot of wonderings that we have of, God, how are you gonna come through? God, how is this gonna happen? God, how are you gonna make a way? And so God has been preparing in my heart, and I'm gonna share out of Habakkuk 1:5. Who didn't even know that Habakkuk was a book in the Bible? Raise your hand right now. I think it's 3 chapters. It's like 1.5 pages. It's super short, but God took me to this scripture, and it's been something that he's really been cultivating in my heart over the last few years as I kind of get ready to step out into this endeavor. And so I'll read it with you. So Habakkuk 1:5, it says this. Look among the nations, look and be amazed. For I am doing something in your day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. Come on, that is not a word. I felt like God said, that is, Josh, not a word for 3,000 years ago. Josh, that is a word for today, because who knows that our God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. He doesn't change. God is doing a great work, and we should look and be amazed. The translation that I was reading it out of says, wonder and be astounded. Come on, do we have a heart that is looking with the wonder and astonishment of what God is gonna do? Come on, I feel like too often, man, God has really been challenging this in my own heart. Instead of looking for the ways that God is moving, sometimes, you know, there's this song that I love, and it's one of the lines in it, I forget what it's called actually right now, but one of the lines is, when did I talk myself out of seeing miracles? And when I heard that line, it smacked my heart, because I had a realization that in moments when God comes through, when God moves, oftentimes I'm like, well, was it really God? Yeah. You know, even, you know, Stickney's, I see that you guys are here this morning. I'm hoping it's okay if I share this. But, you know, recently they even had a medical miracle happen in their lives, where God came through in an impossibility, where a medical scan and a medical diagnosis were flipped in a moment. And you know what was a thought? Yes, can we just give a second? Thank you, Jesus. Come on. But unfortunately, I let the old enemy come in of deception and say, I wonder if that scan was just wrong. I wonder if that diagnosis was, maybe, I wonder if, and there is this lie trying to come into my head to question, to talk myself out of seeing God's miracle power work. And I'm telling you, over and over and over again in the Old Testament, we see this. God says this, look and remember, 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 remember. Many times in our lives, we have to build kind of, they would build like not a statue, but they build a monument to remember. Every time we walk by this huge pile of stones, we're gonna remember that God split a river in half so that we could walk through it in dry feet. We're gonna remember that God did this. We're gonna remember, and we need to be a people of remembrance this morning. We need to be a people who look and see with wonder and astonishment of what God is doing. Because if we don't, we'll miss what he has for us. We'll miss what he has for us in our own lives. That God, you know, God has an incredible, unique plan for each and every single one of us, an incredible, unique calling for each and every single one of us. And, you know, actually, you know, Julie Miller, I think you're here, right? There you are. Julie, I've seen you a couple times in the last couple weeks, and I've just been praying for you. And I felt like as you were sitting in front of me this morning, God just said, she's an evangelist. And I felt like God said this thought that, Julie, you're doing everything right now. I feel like God is kind of like, you're putting in the work, you're making the decisions, you're saying, God, use me, God, here I am. And I felt like there's moments where you can think, does anybody see it, or does God even see it? Does God see me? Because who knows, that sometimes we hear God loud and clear, and other times we'd be like, God. And we listen and can feel like, am I hearing anything? But Julie, I just want to encourage you today. As I was sitting behind you, I just felt like God said, I am so proud of her. I see everything that she's doing. And I'm gonna continue to enable and equip her, because she's got a gift of being an evangelist. So I just want to encourage you, say, you're amazing. Love you so much. But just like Julie has a call, each and every single one of us, we have a call on our lives that God has placed on us. But if we're not looking, if our eyes are not fixed on the things of heaven, not on just on the lack that we see in front of us, we'll miss it. You know, Pastor Greg and I were just having this conversation recently on our way back. I'm such a great employee. I picked him up on my day off. During, you know, when like there was an ice storm that everyone was like, you know, like Augsburg canceled church and there's only like 37 of us here or something the next Sunday. And we were having this conversation of like, man, totally lost where I was going with that. What was our conversation? Oh, can we miss it? Can we miss it? And it was kind of a, both of us were just like, I don't know. Now, I believe that God is the master rerouter. We can all take comfort and be encouraged in that today. Listen, if you've made some mistakes in your life, if you feel like, man, I've missed it, man, I haven't been looking with the eyes of heaven, I've been looking with natural eyes, and I've disqualified myself or even made choices that I thought would disqualify myself, guess what? God is the ultimate rerouter. And I don't believe that we can destroy the call that God has for our lives. Now, I'm not saying that there's not moments that we can miss, because I think there absolutely are. I think I've missed some moments in my life because I wasn't obedient, because I wasn't listening to him, because I was saying, no, God, I want to build my kingdom. I want to do what I want. I'm not caring about your kingdom right now. So we can miss moments, but God is the master rerouter, right? He's a calling and a destiny for each and every single one of us. But we have to be looking for it. You know, there's a couple of stories I want to share, and one is out of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44. I'm not going to share the whole story just for time's sake, but here's just the scriptural reference so you can go back and look at it. But 1 Kings chapter 18, 44. And so here's the circumstance. Here's what's going on. There's a drought, and the Bible doesn't even just call it a drought. It calls it a prolonged drought. So you know it's a real drought. Not just a drought, a prolonged drought. And so Elijah is praying. He's praying for rain. God, send rain. God, send rain. God, send rain. And he has a servant, and he says, go to the mountain, look to the sea, and tell me what you see. Tell me if you see any clouds. So the servant goes. He sees nothing. He comes back. Elijah prays. He says, go again. Servant goes, and he comes back. He says, there's nothing, not a cloud in the sky. Elijah says, go again. He prays. This happened 7 times. And on the 7th time, yeah, can you imagine? He was running up to a mountain. It's not like he was like, go on the front porch and just see. It was like he would run to a mountain. This guy had huge legs. Actually, when Jesus, I know, had jacked calves. Because, man, when Greg and I, we were in Israel a few years ago. Roby, actually, were you on that trip? No, that was you. You went to D.C., never mind. But we went to Israel, and there's just hills everywhere. It's horrible. Like, I picture this, like, flat desert thing when I think of Israel, but it's just, like, hill, 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 stairs that never end. And so by the end of it, I'm like, this is, like, my wife is going to be super impressed when I get home. And so the first thing I did, I was like, Jen, look at this. look at that. She was like, that's what you went to Israel and came back with. It's not the only thing, but it is something, okay? It is something. So this poor guy, he's running up and down the mountain, up and down the mountain. And on his 7th time up the mountain, he says this. I see a cloud no bigger than the size of a man's fist. That's a pretty small cloud. And so he runs back and he says, yeah, I mean, I guess I did see a cloud the size of a man's fist, but no rain. And Elijah says, that's it. Go tell the king that rain has come. And if I'm the servant, and I'm going to tell what I think is probably a false message to a king, I might have some pause. Like, Elijah, can we just 1 sec? I get it. You're the man of God. Awesome. Love it. You rule. But one cloud, for example, you can't see the sky today. You know there's no rain forecasted for the rest of the day? And there's 1,000,007 clouds above us. And there's no rain. Elijah sees one the size of a man's fist, and he says, that's it. Go tell the king. So the servant goes and he tells the king, that's the kind of look and see that I want in my life. I see one cloud and I say, that's it. God's gonna move. Go tell the king. God's coming. God's working. God's preparing. The drought's gonna end. Breakthrough's coming. That's the kind of faith, the kind of perspective that I want to have in my life. If you look at 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. Again, I won't go into the whole story because it's long, but we have Elisha, who is the disciple of Elijah. So I think Elijah passed on how to look and how to see and how to have a heavenly perspective to his disciple, because if we look in this story, Elisha is surrounded by an enemy. So Elisha, this prophet, that pretty much God has such a trust in him that when Elisha speaks, it happens. And so the enemy, they're trying to take Israel, and they realize there's this guy who everything he says comes to be. And everything he says is against us. We gotta kill him. So they find him camped out. They surround him so he can't get away with a whole army. And they're ready to kill him. And Elisha is in his tent. And his servant goes out doing servanty things. I don't know what he was doing. But he goes outside. I don't know if he was just taking a morning pee. I don't know. But he goes out, rubs his eyes. And then he sees. That wasn't there last night. Hold on a second. That looks to be a vast army surrounding us, ready to kill all of us. Wipes his eyes again. Okay, no, that definitely is a huge army surrounding us, ready to devour us. And so he goes in and he tells Elisha, we're done, we're doomed, we're surrounded, we're gonna die. And Elisha just says this, Lord, open his eyes so that he can see. And it says in that moment, the servant's eyes were opened. And all of a sudden, he could not just see the army surrounding them, but he could see above them and surrounding the enemy were the armies of God surrounding them. Amen. That's the kind of perspective, that's the kind of sight I want to have. The looks past the natural barriers, the looks past the reasons why and why not, and is able to see but God. You know, Pastor Jessica has really been pushing me uncomfortably in the aspect of faith recently. What am I believing for? What am I believing that God can do? Do I really, the prayers that I pray, do I really believe them? Do I have an expectation that God is gonna move? Or will I be surprised when he actually does? And then I start to actually question, was it a miracle? Was it, I don't know. I'm telling you what, we need a new prescription. Come on, we need to have eyes that can see what God is up to and what he's doing. You know, the same, oh gosh, can't remember now if it's Elisha or Elijah, bad pastor. But there's this story of Elisha or Elijah, let's just say it's Elisha, sure. Elisha, okay, there's these prophets, these 400 prophets of this false god named, I've heard it pronounced Baal, however you say it, okay? There's 400 prophets. And they kind of get into a duel with Elisha. So you have all these prophets of this, you know, kind of false god. And then you have Elisha. And he says, well, let's see whose God is more powerful. Let's see. So he says, all right, let's do this. You guys build an altar, put a sacrifice on it. And if Baal comes down and he consumes it, ooh, all right, maybe you got a real God on our hands. He said, but if my God comes down and consumes it and yours doesn't, I think we know who's right. And so they do it and said, okay, absolutely. So 400 of them all gather around and they're crying out and they're offering sacrifices and they're like, Baal, 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 you know, please rain down fire. Rain, don't embarrass us. Rain down fire. Consume this offering, blah, 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 blah. And Elisha, he's taunting them the whole time. He's like, louder, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's relieving himself. Louder. Maybe he can't hear you. And so he's just mocking them. Right, and then so hours and hours and hours go by and nothing, right? Elijah goes, all right, my turn. This is the kind of expectation that I want of my God. Elijah says this. He gets his offering ready. Then he goes, no, that won't do. He goes down to the creek. He gets tons of water, and he keeps dumping buckets of water on the sacrifice over and over and over again. If you've ever tried to start a fire in the rain, it's impossible. One time at summer camp, Pastor Greg said to me, you know, hey, we're all gonna sit outside, have this cool spiritual moment at summer camp, but we need a fire. And I was like, right, but it's been raining all day. And he's like, come on, you're a woodsman, aren't you? And I was like, and I took that personally. And so I was like, okay, fine. I'll get your stupid fire going in the rain. Guess what? I did not succeed. I made a lot of smoke. Nothing caught on fire. And so he soaks it to the point where it says that he made like a little, what do you call it, a little moat around it. And even the moat was full of water. That's how much he soaked it. And then he said, all right, God, you know, you are the Lord. You are right. He cries out who God is. And then he says, show us your glory. Pillar of fire comes down, consumes the whole thing. Like, that kind of expectation is wild to me. That's impossible. And then he took something that was impossible, a pillar of fire happening to come down on the offering he prepared, and he said, it's not impossible enough. I need to make it doused in water so it's more impossible. That's the kind of faith that I want in my life. I've been really convicted and asking, God, will you change my perspective? God, will you give me eyes to see? You know, one of the you know, kind of comforts I take is if you read through the gifts of the Spirit, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is a gift of increased faith. Yeah. I've been praying for that gift. God, will you give me an increased faith? God, I need it. God, I need it. God, if we're gonna believe for the things that you've put on our hearts to do, God, if we're gonna accomplish the things that you told us to do, Jesus, if we're gonna even do greater things that you even did in your time on earth, I'm gonna need a faith far greater than what I have right now. I'm gonna need eyes that can see the impossible and see, man, there is a way that God can move right there. I think we've gotten lazy in our faith. Maybe we got disappointed at some point in our lives. Maybe we prayed for something and we really believed, but then it didn't come to pass. Maybe there's a tragedy. Maybe there's a death. Maybe there's a dream killed, whatever it is, and we lose that awe and astonishment that Habakkuk talked about. I wanna encourage you today, dream again. Ask again. Ask again. There's been multiple moments in my life where I've asked God, why? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And I'm telling you, unfortunately, I don't get an answer every time. One day I will. Right now, on this side of eternity, I don't get an answer every time. But you know what? Often I do get an answer when I'm through it, and I have a different perspective, all of a sudden I can see, God, I see what you were doing. God, I see how you were moving. God, I see that you even needed to show me something in that season. So though we don't always understand God, we can always trust that he is for us. He has good things for us. Come on, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That is the God that we serve. So even though we don't always understand the why, we can understand and trust in the who. Come on, he's worthy of our trust. He is. You know, we sing those songs, you know, like you're never gonna let me down. And there's moments where we think, I feel like I've been let down, actually. And I never feel that. I feel like I've been let down multiple times because I was thinking this would happen, or I was believing for this to happen, or I was praying for this to happen, and it didn't happen. I feel like I have been let down. I'm telling you, unfortunately, you and I, we live in a broken world where God refuses to take away our ability to choose. Right. You know, when I was younger, I used to wonder this question all the time. Why, God, did you put that stupid tree in the garden? Anyone ever wonder that? Am I the only one who's ever wondered that? You're all such better Christians than me. You don't even question God. You're just like, yes, whatever, Father. But man, I've like, God, just take away the stupid tree and like, you know, problem solved. That was kind of an architectural like thought that, oh, the tree looks really good and like the feng shui of the garden's right on if that happens. But man, I'm telling you, I've been like, God, why is that tree there? You know, God is a God of love and relationship, right? Take choice out of a relationship. Take choice out of love. What is it? It's just robotic, right? In order for God to have true relationship with us, we had to have choice. That's right. And if there's no choice to be made, then we don't have a choice, do we? As much as I'm like that stupid tree with the stupid fruit and, you know, Eve, Adam, why did you, you know? It had to be there for us to actually have choice. And today, God refuses to take away our choice. You know what the problem is? You and me. You know why there's brokenness? Because I say mean things to my wife. Like, yesterday, my wife got after me because my son reached down and grabbed his poopy diaper and flung it, and I grabbed his, yeah, it was great. I get now why parents are so hyped when they're done diapers. I get it. Like, before, I was like, it's not that big a deal. Like, it takes, like, 1 minute of your life. Calm down. But now I get it. But he grabs it, he flings it, and I got mad, and I grabbed his little wrist, and I was like, Ryder, no! And then he went, ah! You know, he cried, and essentially, it's like I, you know, was abusing him horribly from his perspective, evidently. And my wife was like, Josh, don't grab him like that. And I'm like, I'm not the bad guy. He's the one who flung the poop. Don't you make this about me. I'm the victim. But how did I react? Not all that well. I cannot confirm or deny if I swore. I will not say it. I'm a pastor. I would never do that. But anyway. But man, I was like, good night. Guess what? We have choice, and we make wrong choices a lot of times. In that moment, I made a wrong choice. Like I said, I got so far off of my notes that it's not even funny. But anyway, we're gonna keep rolling with it and just see what happens. We're just gonna see where we land. So what are we seeking? We'll bring it back. There it is. How spiritual. What are we seeing? Have we been looking after our own kingdom or his kingdom? You know, there's this, I want to challenge us a little bit today. There's this, pastor that I heard him say this quote, and it really, really, really changed my perspective of my role in the plan of God. You know, essentially, I'll just kind of paraphrase it. He said, did I write it down actually? Yes. He says, you know, we keep waiting for God to move, but we are a move of God that is stuck waiting. And when I heard that, I was like, In a sense, I wanted to shift it all on God, my responsibility in seeing his kingdom come. Well, God, it's your kingdom. Like, you do the work. I'll say yes. But no, man, I'm telling you, I think we've not been seeing correctly. We've not been seeking correctly. And so we're just stuck in waiting. Anyone ever do this? God, we need you to move. God, we need you to do something. God, we need you to come through. God, send me a sign. Anyone ever say this before? Oh my gosh. I love my family so much, but like this is something I hear all the time. They're like, God, send us a sign. And I was like, he sent us his son. That was enough. That was more than enough, actually. Let's do something with it. God, give us a sign. And I think the whole time God is like, I sent my son. He showed you the way. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He modeled for you what to do. What more are you waiting for? Amen. I'm telling you, we're seeing improperly. We're seeing God, here we are. We're all in this building. Do something. And he's like, I'm waiting for you to move. I've given you everything you need. You know, we have this issue in life where we look at the lack. This is something I've realized more and more as I've gotten older. I have an issue. You did not have to laugh that hard, Carol. You did not have to laugh like that. I'm gonna have to, ushers, could we just, right here. Get her out. I'll say it again, Carol. Try not to judge me too much this time. God. I have an issue. Okay. I walk into this room. I walk into my office. I sit next to Mason Donnelly, who God loves so much. But he's not the neatest person that God ever created. And yeah, he is young. Father, we just pray, fix him in the name of Jesus right now. I was raised by an OCD mother. And so my wife, my poor wife, she'll be cooking something Like, she'll be using a knife to, you know, I don't know. She'll stir something, use a knife to cut something, whatever, have a cutting board out. And I see it on the counter, and I'm like, oh, my God, can you just, and I'll put it in the sink or put it in the dishwasher. And then she turns around, and she's like, where did my cutting board and thing go? I was like, you can't just leave things unattended for 5 seconds. What if the world ends? So I have a problem, evidently, okay? I realize this. But you know what? Humanity, more than just me and my OCD tendencies, we have a problem as in humanity, because if we were to walk in this room, and let's say that chair was on the floor right there, you know what I would notice first, rather than the 399 chairs that are perfectly positioned? I would notice the one chair in the middle, and my eyes would be fixated on it. I'd be like, man, we got to get rid of that. So we got to fix that right now. We can't have church with a chair in the middle. Dylan, that doesn't make any sense. But we have a problem. Because rather than the 399 that are perfectly positioned waiting for people to sit in them, we see the one that is out of line, that's not in alignment. And it'll bother me the whole time. I probably couldn't even preach if there was a chair right there in the middle. I'd be like, could you grab that chair, please? So that the Spirit of God can come, because he won't come if that chair is in the middle, and we need him. We need him to come. So if someone fix that chair, do it quickly, please. Yeah, we've got a problem. We look at the lack. We look at what we don't have, rather than everything that God has given us already. You know, this is a scripture that we'll be well aware of, but Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This is a great commission, right? Says this. Go, therefore. What's the first word? Go. 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 Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I used to be stuck in that. God, I'm waiting for you to move, and then I'll respond. But he's already moved. It's my turn to respond. He first loved me. He sent his son for me. He's made a way for me. He has helped me become aware of who he is. Now I'm in relationship with him. He's already made move 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It was like me when I was trying to convince my wife to fall in love with me, and she just kept saying no. I was like, just respond. Eventually she did. Fourth time was the charm. I did have to fly to Uganda to get her to like this great gesture of love. I flew to Uganda, Johnny. I highly recommend it. Women love this, okay? Just between you and me. I flew to Uganda, and I was like, it is me. I'm here, and I'm in love with you. And actually, she beat me to it. She said, hey, can we talk? You're not just my best friend. I actually think of you as, like, who I want to spend the rest of my life with. And in that moment, I knew that God was real right there. But anyway, that's just a glimpse into my life and God's provision. Amen. Yep. But anyway, so go, 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 go. I got in this place where I'm just a waiter. All right, God, do something. No, he's already done it. And so I kind of adopted this new philosophy that has been huge in my life. Go until you hear no. Because we sit and we say, God, send a sign. Yeah, I already sent one. And I've done a lot since. I haven't just been sitting here. God, send me a sign. I'm telling you, I think this will change your life. Go until you hear no. Too often, we're just like, God, we're just sitting here. We wish you'd want us to move, but here we are just sitting here. God's unchanging. That same go 2,000 years ago is a go for you today. Now, there's moments where I've started going, and God just says no. And I was like, right, okay. Then let's go this way. No. Okay, yep, absolutely. Lord, show me the way. This way, you know, and then it's like, no. There's moments where he does say no, but guess what? He's so good, he will say no. You don't have to wonder, well, if I just do things that I think Jesus wants me to do, what if I end up doing things that are horrible and then God never stops me? No, he'll stop you. He's got a calling and a destiny for you. If you're listening, if you're seeing, if you're seeking him, you will hear from him when he says, no, no, no. No, no, no. Not that. It can be a million different things in our lives. It can be a relationship. It could be a job. It could be a ministry you want to get involved with. Whatever. Like, all of a sudden, you can think, I think this is going to be good. No. Go, though. Let's not sit in our hands, twiddle our thumbs, and be like, God, I just wish you'd give me a sign. Now, I know that God does give signs. But I believe that we have taken that a step too far, where we let it cripple us. We let it sideline us and bench us. We're just saying, God, we wish you would move. And he's saying, I've already moved. It's time for you to respond. You know, I remember sitting in a chair right over here, right about where you are, Kevin, and you know, about a year ago, and I've, you know, maybe a little more, and I've got this dream in my heart, right? I wanna be a church planner. Man, I wanted this, I wanted that. But you know, I kept thinking, but I'm not ready, but I can't do that, but I can't do that, but I can't, but I could, but I'm not, man, my hair's not as cool as Greg's, and like, man, I'm not as like, you know, like pastoral as Justin, and you know, like, you know, granted, I'm like way, you know, maybe overall better looking than the both of them, but like, but there's still a lack here. There's still a lack. I'm not there. I could never do that. Not yet, not yet. I'm not ready. My eyes were fixed on the lack. And I remember, who knows, Pastor Charlie Sweet here, and Pastor Charlie was up here, and he was preaching a word. He's, you know, he's Jason Sweet's dad, and so he comes every once in a while, and you know, we'd love to have him share because he's amazing and he's stupid prophetic, just like so detailed, incredibly prophetic. And in the middle of his message, he just goes, "Pastor Josh," and I was like, "Oh no, Charlie, do it in the back. Don't do it now. It's okay. You don't have to do this here." He goes, "Pastor Josh, young man." And then he just calls me out of there. He's like, "Listen, I think I've never heard the word phooey used, I don't think, in my life until that moment." I had to look it up. I was like, "I don't even know what that means." But he said this, "Young man, I feel like you," I can't do the accent the whole time. But he said, "Young man, I feel like you just keep sitting there and you just keep saying, I'm not ready, not yet, not yet. Well, phooey, young man." And I was like, "Phooey? You 87 years old, Charlie? I don't even know what that means. I had to Google it. How do you spell that?" And he said to me, "You stop saying I'm not ready. You stop looking at the lack. God equips in who he calls. Start being obedient. Start stepping in." Typically, prophetic words are supposed to be like, you know, like the one I gave Julie. Wasn't that lovely? I'm like, God sees you. He loves you. And it's all true. And he just yells at me in front of everyone. And I'm like, "You're a jerk." But anyway, I love you, Pastor Charlie. Jason, don't you tell him. Don't you tell him I said that. But from that moment, I was like, "You know what, God? All right, I'm going to start going. I'm going to start going. Forgive me for how I've been saying, no, 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 not yet, not yet, not yet. I'm going to stop looking at the lack. I'm going to let my eyes see of what God will do." If you feel like you're not ready, phooey. Come on, God has a call, a plan, a desire for your life. It's time to start stepping in it. You know, I have a young men's small group, and just this last week we were getting together, and I said this thing to them. I was like, "You know, you don't become the man you want to be 20, 10, 5 years from now without starting today. I encourage you right now, start today." Now listen, I'm sure there's lack. There's lack in all of us. But will you choose to see that God is able to overcome any lack in our lives if we just say yes? If we just step out in obedience and say yes. You know, there's this this phenomenon. It's called whoever you are, sir, I'm sorry, I'll probably butcher your probably German name. But it's Bader Meinhof is the guy who came up with this theory. And it's very simply this. I recently bought a Subaru Forester. Thing's awesome. Love it. Great car. I gave it to my wife because I'm a selfless husband and I took the crappy Camry. Again, I'm not seeking praise. That's what happened, okay? But you know what happened after I bought that Subaru? I saw them everywhere. This ever happened to anyone? You buy a car? Maybe you get a pair of shoes. I don't know, whatever it is, but the car one is probably the most common one. You get a white car, a red car, and all of a sudden you're like, "Look at all the red cars. Everyone must just be following my trend, I guess. I'm a trendsetter. Like, these weren't here last week. All of a sudden, here they are, all these red cars. But you know what actually happened is now your mind is just acutely aware of something that before you could not see. It was always there. The red cars have not appeared out of nowhere. They were there in your drive to work yesterday. They were there in the line of the McDonald's the day before. They'll be there tomorrow. You are now just uniquely aware of them where before you were not. Why? You weren't looking for them. When we say, God, fix my eyes on your kingdom. God, let my eyes see you. God, let open my eyes, change my perspective so I'm able to see how you want to move. Guess what? When we're looking for it, we'll start to see it. If we're just like, I don't know, we'll miss it. We'll miss it. We'll miss it. We'll miss it. So I just want to encourage you guys today. What are you looking for? What are your eyes fixated on? You know, we need a little Holy Spirit Bader-Meinhof transformation. We need our thoughts, we need our eyes to be fixated on the things of the kingdom, because without it, we'll miss it. Those cars were there yesterday. God was wanting to move yesterday. Can we become aware of it today? Can we say, God, I need you to change my mind, to change my, God, that I would look and see with wonder and astonishment of what you're doing. God, change the way I see. So I just wanna invite you to just stand to your feet if you're willing. I think we're gonna end with a time of worship here, but there's two things that I wanna encourage you to respond in today. You know, we're gonna have some incredible people up here. Don't worry, Carol won't be one of them. She won't judge you. You are safe. This is a safe place. Love you, Carol. But if you say, man, I need some new eyes today. I need to see with different eyes. I've been looking at the one chair tipped over, and I haven't been seeing everything else that God is doing. I just invite you, will you come up? If you need some Holy Spirit, Bader-Meinhof transformation in your brain, I invite you, come up. We want to pray for you. We want to pray that you would have eyes to see from this moment on. And the second thing I want to just invite you to respond to is, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus before, what an incredible day to start. I'm telling you right now, Jesus has transformed my life. He's opened my eyes to the beauty of what he has around us. It's the best decision I've ever made in my life, is saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. Now, I was talking to this young man recently, and he's just pouring his life out to me in tears at Taco Bell, because that's where spiritual conversations happen, as we all know. And so he's just pouring his heart out to me, and I just have this realization that, like, all these things going on in his life, they're he's a young man, they're crippling to him. And I just realized, do you recognize every single thing going on in your life? That if you would stop doing it your way, it was clear as day to him. And as soon as I said it, he had a revelation, and he just began to weep. I said, if you would turn from the things, from the way that you've been doing your life, and just say, Jesus, here, will you take it? God, I've tried to do it my way. It ends in misery, it ends in disappointment, it ends in pain over and over and over again. But Jesus has come to bring life and life abundant, John 10:10 says. That is our testimony. Abundant life is in Jesus. I invite you today, if you have never said, I'm gonna stop doing it my way, and I wanna do it your way from here on out. His way is better, I'm telling you right now. As someone who's lived both, his way is better every time. His way brings life. Our way brings death. So if you've never made that decision, I encourage you, as the worship team is playing, there's some awesome people up here. They would love to pray with you. They love to lead you in accepting Jesus in your life and surrendering and say, God, come have your way. So I just want to pray, and then we're just going to worship. And I invite you, as soon as I'm done praying, come on up, okay? If you need a new perspective and you want to give your life to Jesus, come on up today. So Jesus, we thank you so much for your goodness. Father, we thank you so much, God, that we don't have to have a blind eye anymore to what you're doing. Father, we even repent right now, God, for the way, Jesus, that we have looked and said, God, where are you? And you've been moving the whole time, God, but we haven't been looking. Father, we just repent for the ways that we've been even building our own kingdoms, God, and we haven't been chasing after your kingdom. Father, today we say, God, we will seek first your kingdom. God, we know that you want to move in ways that we cannot even imagine. God, give us a faith today. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you give us that faith, that we be able to believe for it and walk it out like it's going to happen. In the name of Jesus, we just proclaim that we'd be a people of faith, that we'd be a people who go, that we would be a people who don't sit idly anymore, God, that we would be your hands and feet who you've called us to be. Jesus, we thank you that you are the giver of life. God, we love you. God, we're so excited for this next season in our church. God, just even as Pastor Gary prophesied over us, that we're in a more season. God, we proclaim that. We grab onto that right now, Father God, that there is more to come. Jesus, we know that the greater days are still yet ahead. Father, help us to see it. Help us to have faith for it. God, and help us to go for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on up.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.